God is good, and all the time. Oh boy, doesn't sound that way. Let's try that again. Morning, church. God is good, and all the time. God is a mighty good God. I want to just say, first of all, thanks to Brother Mitchell for giving me this wonderful privilege to occupy the pulpit this morning. And I see it as a wonderful, wonderful privilege, especially because of who he is. And you know, the great work that he has been doing in the church. And I can only aspire to be just as good as he is, and do the work that he has been doing, and around the country and over the world. Brother Mitchell, you are greatly appreciated, and I just hope that God will help me to do justice to his word as I present a lesson to you this morning. I bring you greetings from the church over there in South Central, and we ask that you pray for us as we take on the challenge. You know what they say, may pen and a playpen. Alright, but that means that they need God just the same. Amen? Alright, so again, I just want to, a few persons here are quite familiar with me. A few of the ladies call me Greek. And I taught Greek, introduction to Greek in your extension program here. And you know, that's how I get acquainted with a few of the ladies here. We are quite fun. Sister Mavis was very instrumental in my wedding. She did all the cooking, free of cost. Good sister, man. Good sister. Sister Mattis, she gave me a proper cussing earlier. And I have to take it. You know, she said, I've been treating her well. And she's been asking about me. And you know, it's good to know that the brethren still ask about each other. Amen, amen. I don't want to talk too much about that, because what we're here about is God's word this morning. And I trust and know that your Bibles are still open. It's good to see you, my good friend, Everick. It's been a while, brother. open to God's word. The lesson this morning is quite simple, but I believe it is profound. It is simply no room for fear. No room for fear. If you are going to be the child of God that he wants you to be, you must grasp the concept that in your Christian walk, there is absolutely no room for fear. Fear, I believe, is a self-imposed prison that keeps you from becoming who God wants you to be. You see, if you are a fearful Christian, then you become limited in what you can do for God. And God wants us at our best. You know, scientists will tell us that fear is a natural response. It is within us. It is that we are given that so that we can preserve our own life. But I want for us to understand that Jesus says that whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. But whoever seeks to lose his life for my sake will what? He will find it. I want for us to understand that what Jesus is trying to help us to understand is that once we become Christians, we are no longer only physical beings. But we are spiritual beings. And the life that we live, most of what we have to encounter, brethren and friends, it is not physical. I want for us to understand that once you took on the challenge to become a child of God, you need to understand that you chose to fight for the rest of your life. You see, In fear, there's something that is called the fight or flight experience. When fear is present, you do one of two things, Brother Mitchell. You either stand and fight, or you put your tail between your legs and you run. But in the Christian walk, I want you to understand, brethren and friends, that you only have one option. And that is to stand and fight. And that's why Paul says, I have fought the good fight. You see, being a Christian might be hard, but it is the best life anyone can live. You see, brethren and friends, if we ask ourselves the question, what is fear? They say fear is an unpleasant emotion when you are faced with harm or danger. But I want for us to understand that I have a simpler definition for fear. I believe that fear is simply failure to take God at His word. You see, as a child of God, we must understand that God says, I am always with you. I remember Moses and the children of Israel as they shut with fear and they shook and they said, Moses said, hey, come on man, calm down. Stand still. Stand still and witness how powerful the God whom you serve is. And as a Christian, we too need to understand that if we take time out to understand who we serve, then there is absolutely no room for fear. 365 times, I believe, the Bible encourages us. Fear not. That's one don't fear scripture per day. God must have been giving us a message. As my child, you have no reason to walk around fearful. If we walk around fearful, brethren and friends, we are failing to take God at His word. You see, when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 25 that whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. I believe what he's trying to do is to get us prepared to understand that we are now stepping out of the physical and we are stepping into the spiritual. And if we are going to be spiritual people, we need to understand that the best way for us to walk is by faith. You see, it is a paradox that helps us to understand that we are not just living to die, but as a child of God, we're living to live on. You know, in our society, they would have us to believe you only live one life. So live it up. You know, if you only live once, then you die twice. But as children of God, we need to understand that this walk that we are about to walk, or the walk that we are walking, it is not steps that should be ordered by fear. Let me share with you a passage from Matthew chapter 14, from verse number 22 through to verse number 33. Before we dive into our text, I want for us to see some things from this passage to help us to understand just how God wants us to be as His children. Matthew chapter 14, from verse 22 through to 33. We won't read the passage in its entirety, but you can write it down and read it in your spare time. What we have here is Jesus in a situation with His disciples. And they are in the middle of the sea. And He's up on a mountain praying. And then when He's finished, He needs to get where they are. But they're in the middle of the sea, and He's on dry land. You see, the first thing I want for us to understand, and I believe it's about verse number 22, 23, thereabout, when He says that the Bible says He needed to go to where they are. But watch this. Between Him and the boat is water. Right. And I don't read anywhere else that Jesus had walked on water before. But Jesus was about to, because you see, He needed to go somewhere. He needed something to be done. But the circumstance was not ideal. You see, as children of God, we need to understand that our situation, our circumstance, is not always going to be the ideal one. And sometimes we are going to have to take some steps that we have never taken before. So Jesus here, for the first time, as far as we know, is about to walk on water. So he's telling us that as his children, we are going to have to sometime take some steps that we have never taken before. You see, as Christians, we don't have the luxury of doing things to our own liking. Or only when we are comfortable with it, that's when we want to do it. God wants us to understand that as a child of God, you will be called upon to do some and then do some more and some more. So Jesus starts to walk on the water. And he sets out and he's going and they see him and they get frightened. They're afraid, they're scared. And he says, "Hey, don't worry. It's me." And then we know, Ota Masi Peter. You know, he says, hey, if it's you, bid me to come. Let me tell you something, brethren and friends. You see, as a child of God, be careful what you ask for. You see, when you ask God for something, make sure you're ready. It's like asking God for a car. You don't have money to pay insurance. You don't have money to buy gas. You came by a spare tire, but you're asking God for a car. Make I tell you something. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want because we are not ready. So Peter says, "I want to come." And fine, come on out. And he gets on that water. And he starts taking some steps he has never took before. And he's going. But then situations will arise. And when situations arise, your job as a child of God is to keep your eye on Jesus. You see, the devil has a way of putting things in our way. Of taking us, you know, I like to describe Christians as a horse. Don't take it as an offense. But you know why horses do such a good job? When they put them on the track, they have blinds. So you're the business where the next horse, you just want to see, you want to get there before him. If you are trying to get where God wants you to be, you need to understand that you have to keep your eyes on Jesus. You see, this fear thing, we'll get to that in a while, it's a tool that the devil uses against us. But watch this. Peter took his eye off Jesus and he started to concentrate on the situation. And he starts to sink. When you take your eye off Jesus, everything falls apart. But if we just call out, he's right there to save us. But the passage ends with Jesus saying, "Oh, ye of little faith." You see, the root of fear is faithlessness. And as children of God, there is absolutely no room for fear. Now watch me. When we go to our text, Brother Mitchell, I imagine Paul when he left young Timothy, how he was burning with zeal, how he was brave and strong and he was ready to do the work. But then here comes the second letter. I wonder what could have happened. Young Peter must have met some, young Timothy must have met some challenges. He must have been seeing just how hard it really is, because it's one thing to stand on the outside looking in. But when you get in, you know, sometimes I hear people criticize Christianity. I say, "Hey man, you don't tell me how my shoes feel until you put them on." You see, when I assume that he faced some challenges and Paul had to just come again and say, "Ah, young brother, I want you to understand that this is not something for the faint-hearted.
make I tell you something. And a boy, a girl, I ain't think somebody become a Christian.
Amen. Amen.
Let me tell you something. Amen. You who are God's people, amen, you are among the strongest in this world.
Amen. Amen.
You see, it is a commitment that not many can take on.
Right.
It is a commitment that many fail and they fear.
That's right.
No, sir, that's too much responsibility. I can't mind. But I want for you to understand just how special you are. So I stopped by this morning to help you to understand that you need to keep on keeping on.
Amen.
And if you have some fear in your house, you need to sweep it out. Because as a child of God, fear will get you nowhere. So Paul says to young Timothy, I want you to understand, brother, that God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
You see, sometimes I believe when we talk about spirit in the Church of Christ, we get nervous. Because for the most part, we believe that the spirit is when you're and I feel it. It's coming. When we talk about spirit, we are people who have sense. The spirit is very intelligent. You see, it is the spirit that helped us in our conversion. It is the spirit that keeps us going. So Paul says, watch this. When we think about the spirit, the word that is used is the same word that refers to the Holy Spirit. And what it does is that as you become a child of God and you accept God's word, that spirit helps you to understand who God wants you to be.
Yes.
And so when he says he has not given us a spirit, in other words, Paul is saying God has not given us a character.
Right.
You get that? God has not given us a mindset to think fearful. God has not given us a character that is doubtful. God has not given us a character that is unable of taking him at his word. God has not given us a spirit of fear. In other words, has not given us a character of fear. What is this fear we're talking about? It is not that phobos fear. You know that when you're stuck and you're trembling. You know when you're fearful, you don't have sense. A man stuck in the middle of the road, my brother. A trailer coming. And all he can do is. When you're fearful, you make bad decisions.
That's right.
You know, I don't mean to trouble the ladies. But sometimes, someone a shutter driver, as they call it. But sometimes when you're driving and someone. And your leg will do it. Bad decision. What causes it? Fear. We are frightened. But I want you to understand the fear here that Paul is talking about. I believe the Greek word is, I kind of mispronounce it on purpose. It really is the layer, but I call it the liar. Because that's what fear is. Fear is a lie. You see, as a child of God, if you are fearful, the devil is whispering in your ears and you're listening to his lie. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
Now watch this. I want for you to understand that Jesus don't have nothing to do with those who are fearful. In Mark chapter 4 and verse number 40, Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you fearful? O ye of little faith." You see, I want for us to understand that if you're going to please God, the Bible says, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, what did I say was the root of fear? Faithlessness. So, in other words, God is saying, if you have fear,
You missed it.
That's right.
If faithlessness is the root of fear, and if you don't have any faith, you can't please God. That means if you are fearful, you can't please God.
Amen.
Now, you know, there's one passage that helped me to be courageous as a Christian. And if you think the murderers, the fornicators, because sometimes we feel like, say, boy, you know, fear is it's no biggie. And we big up some sins, and then we look at fear as just a little itty bitty something. But look in Revelation chapter 21. Look in Revelation chapter 21. And at verse number 8. I want you to see what heads the list of persons who will burn in the lake of fire. In other words, if you are, I don't want to jump the gun. Brother, read it for me, please. Revelation 21 and verse number 8. Just read the first, just call it first two on the list. And you can stop.
But the fearful.
But the who?
The fearful.
Anybody have a New King James? That's incorrect, you know. Are trying to get us to understand what's going on. A New King James uses another word. What is it? It says
but the cowardly.
The cowards. And who?
Unbelieving.
The unbelieving are the New King James says the fearful and the unfaithful. And the unbelieving. Watch me. If you are a child of God and you are fearful and you have your eyes set on heaven, I'm sorry for you. I want that to resonate. I need it to sink in. Because sometimes we pay attention to the fornication and the lying and all of those, and we forget the so-called small stuff. But if you are a child of God and you are fearful, in other words, if you are a coward, Christianity is not for you. And heaven will not be yours. Now, I don't know about you, but that me afraid of. I believe life is too hard down here to not make it up there. You see, you know, I believe in the fight or flight experience. Because I want to fight the good fight and make the good flight. And all of us should have the same intentions. So, Jesus wants us to understand that. Get rid of this cowardice business. If you think about it, whether it is spiritual or physical, how many times have we allowed fear to rob us of what is really ours? God wants to put you up, but because you are fearful, you are unwilling to take the step. You see, when you trust God, you can do anything. When you understand that whatever you're doing, you don't put it before God, then you understand that you can do it. Watch me. Not even death should be feared as a child of God. You know, I sat and I spoke with Sister Matt this morning, and I can tell Sister that you're going through some things. I can tell that pain rocking your body. But I understand that you understand that the outward man is perishing. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. She don't feel good, she could have stayed home. But she understands that she has a commitment to God. And she said, boy, Brother Shirley, I stand up on the bus until I feel like I go and drop down this morning. But the grace of God saw it that she is here. And Revelation 14 and verse number 13, I believe, says, blessed are those who die in Christ. Now watch me. You need to understand that the only thing you have to fear is God Himself. You know, I had an experience going to school. And I try to share this everywhere I go. And I know, make up something. I was coming from the barber one evening, about 5:30. We call that broad daylight, same way. And coming down Palmoral Avenue, this hooded fella stepped out in the middle of the road. Gun in my face. Give me your phone. And I looked at my pocket. And it was a big phone. It can't hide. And I looked at him. And for the life of me, I've always planned what I would have done if somebody stick me up with a gun. You know, I get Bruce Lee and you know, I planned it out, you know. But in that moment, you know, another student was with me, and when I looked at him, he was like this. And I looked at that fellow. And he said, you know, you must have to give me the phone. I'm going to look from my pocket. I'm going to look for him. And I'm buying my mother just buy give me, because I can't afford it. I go to school. No JSP thing already. It's hard. That's all I'm saying. But he said to me, and I never forget it. He says, you want dead for your phone? And I said, no. But in God I trust. And he said, I got you say? Go on. Now watch this. If I have never proven God before, I have proved him then. And when I look back at my life, I was in this very building. My brother Kidu was preaching, I was sitting right there. And he said, yes, that young man there in black and was pointing at me. If you knew him before, he was jet black. In other words, when I say that God can change somebody, I know exactly what I'm talking about. But I want you to understand the moral of that story is I never had an ounce of fear. Brother, I'm going to say I plan it out all the time. It's when I go home, you know, some people after they have that experience that when they go home, they start to shake and, oh boy, Jesus. And when I got, I was disgusted. I was upset. I was angry. Because I said, he not give me nothing put on. And he just want to take class with me. Look how hard my mother works with me. People just them, that's, they don't, and I was just angry. But I want for us to understand, brethren and friends, you see, sometimes if we are going to convert some of these men, amen, we have to allow them to understand something. Now watch this. So Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has he given us? He has given us a spirit of power. And if you don't believe in that power, how are you going to convert somebody? Or help them to understand the power of God, when the power of God is not working in your life? I believe, you know, me not tell yourself, gunman stick you up, you know, give them money, whatever. But I'm telling you, faith is something that is progressive. It starts out with a little, and it's supposed to reach a level where you can stand completely confident in God. Where you can take a stand and say, hey, my God is more powerful than you. And he tells me that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You serve the devil, I serve God. Who are you? Let me tell you who be fearful. People who are not Christians. People who don't know God. But if you know God, you understand that he has given you a spirit of power. You know what that word power comes from? The Greek word dunamis. You know what? We get our English word dynamite. Or dynamic.
or a dynamo. In other words, God has given us ability. God has given us strength. He has given us power. I like the illustration of a dynamite that make highway anywhere. Blow any mountain and cut road. In other words, it doesn't matter what the devil puts in your way. You have the power of God to cut through, go over, go around. Any means necessary, God has given you the ability to get through it. So Paul says, hey, young Timothy, I don't know what's going on here, man, but guess what? I remember your grandmother. And I remember her passing on that faith to her daughter, which is your mother. And she passed it on to you. So what's happening, man? I want to start. I want you to understand that whatever you are going through this morning, that you need to tap into the power that God has given you. Watch me. It is the power that saved you. And it's that same power that's going to help you to save someone else. A lot of people out there are standing where you used to stand. And they need to be where you are now. Because you see, the word of God, it is powerful. You see, as simple as in God I trust, that holds power. But you got to believe it. Amen. You know, my daddy is not a Christian, but if I don't learn anything from him, he always said, plead the blood, Shirley. Plead the blood. Then my back, plead the blood, man. Everything for him, you know. He said, daddy, you're not buying up that in the name of Jesus. I said, well, on. I wish we are a Christian. But you see, I want you to understand that sometimes as people of God, we don't have that conviction. That persons who are in error, are persons who are just out there, we don't have their conviction. But that's not who God made us to be. You see, He has given us a spirit of power. And He didn't just stop there. He says, you know what else you got? You got the spirit of love. The spirit of love. You see, a lot of what we don't do is because we don't have love. You see, we like to talk about love, but we don't know what love is. You see, the spirit of love that Paul is talking about is that agape love. That unconditional love. That selfless love. Anybody remember Romans chapter 5 and verse number 5? No, not my favorite scripture, Romans 5:5 and Romans 5:8. You know, when I'm going through things, I you know, sometimes we get a little puffed up. This passage humbles me. Romans 5 and verse 5. Who has it?
And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
The love of God. You see, if we have the love of God, nothing should stop us. Watch this. Did you deserve God's love?
No, sir.
Could you earn God's love?
No, sir.
Can you pay God back for His love?
No, sir.
And why we want to pick and choose when we love. Now watch this. You see, human love, I'm afraid I. You know, I love because I love God. I tell my wife that the only time I feel shaky in my relationship is when the person who I'm in that relationship with doesn't have a relationship with God. That's the only time I worry. Because you see, when your relationship with God starts to falter, who am I for you to be faithful to me when you can't be faithful to God? But I want us to understand that, you see, God gives us this because He wants us to look at the world, and He doesn't want us to pick and choose who we bring the gospel to. And He doesn't want us to be afraid of areas to bring the gospel to. You see, the most troubled areas, they need the gospel the most. So this spirit of love that we have, it is the one that gives us the opportunity and the ability. You see, When Paul says, I am ready to spread the gospel, and he says, I'm indebted, and as much as in me, it means that whatever level you are, you can tell somebody about God. And it doesn't matter who the person is, you should be able. You know, sometimes we're just snottish. We go around like peacocks. I'm a child of God. Who are you? And sometimes we have some little man from the corner. All them know is this. Them have 1 year, so. 1 year, so. I want to make you so. Our next bag, give me them packet. And now we can do, watch them. What list? That's hallelujah, Lord have mercy, man. God help them. When God gave you the ability to, have we ever stopped one day and say, young man, why you do that? Young lady, why you dress like that? You know, take time out to engage with, that's what love is. If you have love, then you are concerned about people. You want to know why they do what they do, and you want to get them to understand, hey, I have been there. And let me introduce you to somebody who changed me. You know, sometimes that's a good morning and a hello will do it. Watch how we do things now. We pass them every day. But campaign time comes. Oh, good morning, sir. You know, we're having a campaign and we'd love for you to come. When they run, we have to fall. We pass them day in, day out. Now we not care. But as soon as campaign time comes, let me tell you something. Non-Christian, no fool. And though they don't do it, they know how exactly a Christian should live. But I'm trying to say, as children of God, He has given us that spirit of love that we can engage people. It doesn't matter who they are. They could be homosexuals, lesbians, prostitutes, bartenders, good men. It doesn't matter. God has given you a spirit of power and a spirit of love for you to use it. Why do you think you and I are saved? Because He was selfless. He gave Himself for us. And we should give ourselves to His service. Now watch this. Because sometimes we bring fear upon ourselves because of this next one. He says He has given us a spirit of a sound mind. Level-headed. The ability to think before we act. The ability to control the flesh. And in order to live how God wants us to live. Watch this now. It's when you don't have a sound mind, Brother Mitchell. Oh, you know, evangelism is going to be in your area today, and we're looking forward to you leading the charge. Because that's where you live. That's your home. And the people, they must know you. You start shake and shiver. Because the people who know you best are the people closest to you. And yet, if I go to my evangelism, I say, oh, yeah, I'm in the church. And I say, oh, the one where so and so go, me not come there. When we have a sound mind, the Bible is trying to help us to understand that we have allowed the Word of God to govern our lives. And we live as we should. So that when it's time to share the gospel, we're not ashamed and we're not fearful. Because we have been living right. You know, Paul says to the Roman brethren, you who tell the man not to steal, do you steal? You see, sometimes the only Bible that non-Christians have to read is our lives. Now you can dress up like puss foot and go to church every Sunday morning. If you're not living right, you're not saying nothing. You are ineffective. So guess what now? When we don't have that, because they're all connected. You see, when we don't have that sound mind, we don't have no love. And when you don't have no love, you can't tap into the power that God has given you. And that's why he says to the same young Timothy, flee youthful lust. Get yourself in a place where people look up to you. Be an example in word and in deed. So whatever you say, make sure that is what you do. Because if you're going to tell me something, it must first work for you. Now watch me. Sometimes the reason why we are fearful is because we're not living how we ought to be living. You know, I use this scenario, and I like to tell people, say, me can't talk your business because me don't know your business. Or rather, surely not afraid to talk theme business. You know, when you start out something wrong, it's hard to make it right. You sit down to the very friends that you keep from the outset, from the get-go. Yeah, I like to use this example. You know, when you come back off a summer vacation, a teacher asks you, you know, or you're a new student, and they ask you, who are you talking about, who you are, what, you know. The first thing that's come out of your mouth as a child of God, first of all, I'm a Christian. And anything else come after. But we talk and we talk and it's, by the way, I'm a Christian. Your friends need to know who you are. Amen. Guess what? You see, when you stand up for God, people respect that. You see, when you stand on the borderline, people get confused. That's right. So, them cuss bad word, them do anything, and you carry on in any kind of conversation, and then you say, hey, call God church. Huh? Say, what now? Yeah, man, call God church. I'm a Christian. Yeah, wara. You see, I like Paul. Because he tells you something because he has been through it. You know, in the book of Acts, I believe in chapter 18, when he was on his missionary journey and he converted some people, Jesus came to him in a vision and says, hey, don't be afraid. Preach the word. Preach the word. And when we come to Acts chapter 20, and he called the elders together and he says, you know, boy, I never hold back nothing. I preach the word, I give it, man, and right now I go to Jerusalem, bounded in the spirit, not knowing what is going to face me in Jerusalem. But he says, none of those things move me. Amen. And then again some prophet comes and he says, boy, the man who won this belt, when he goes to Jerusalem, this is how they're going to bind him. And he says, and they beg him, no, but pastor, I want to know, man, why not broke my spirit? Why are you tearing me down? I am ready to die for Christ's sake. Amen. Can we make that statement? Amen. You see, that's all God wants us to do. He wants us to live right so that we can use the power that He has given us. Amen. And we need to stop being fearful because we are imprisoning. We put ourselves in a... God has not given us a spirit of fear. Look like time for me to shut up now. One more passage. Genesis chapter 3. Let me tell you where fear came from. Because it didn't come from God. But you remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, a lot of things that we do today is because of sin. And sin is, it was brought on by fear. And fear was brought on. Remember I tell us that fear is a lie? Watch this. In Genesis 3 and verse number 10. The Bible says that God, as usual, come down to take a stroll in His paradise that He made. And when Him look, Him can't see Adam, Him can't see Eve. I said, where them there? And He says, where are you? Adam says, we hid ourselves because we were afraid. That's the first time fear came into the picture. How did it get there? The devil crept in. And he asked Eve, did God really say? What he's doing is planting doubts. And when doubt creeps in, faithlessness creeps in. And when you start to question God, you start to view things differently. You stop looking spiritually and you start seeing physically. The fruit was good for the eye. You see, brethren and friends, we need to stay focused. Don't allow the devil to continue tricking you. As a child of God, there is no room for fear. God bless you. Amen. Amen.